AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. This hour of Rogan and Rodney brought to you by Wood Ranch. Award-winning barbecue. WoodRanch.com.
We want it.
Order online today.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, here we go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. Jam 3 hours today. Next segment, Clayton Kershaw. Do the Dodgers have too great an expectation for him? Has his time come and gone? We will get into that with Andy McCullough of The Athletic. During the 2 o'clock hour, the attorney representing Michael Kay will join us on the show. Or Eric Kay, I'm sorry, will join us on the show. Eric Kay, the man that supplied Tyler Skaggs the opiates, which ultimately took his life. Not specifically one supplied by Eric Kay, but they had a relationship. And basically, it was a drug relationship. I don't know if they did them together or not, but we will have Eric Kay's attorney on the program and get into that today. And Vinny will jump on during the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get started with this. I've always believed, and Rodney, I think you and I look at this differently, because I'm not very smart at times. So I'll preface it with that. Just being honest.
Okay.
I don't like to talk about things that I don't know about. I'll give you an example. I can talk about NFL relocation for hours and hours. Sometimes people find it interesting. Sometimes they find it boring. But I can talk about it because I absolutely know that. I am someone that will not speak of issues I don't understand or know. Because first, you might say the wrong thing. And second, you might look bad. Oh, and there's a third option. Sometimes you get lucky and nail it. Because anytime you talk about something of a political nature, you're going to upset somebody. That's just the way the world works today. LeBron James finds himself in a tough spot. There are protesters in Hong Kong. You understand, in Hong Kong, people have been protesting for some time. Basically, they want their freedom. That's really what they're saying. And China is not allowing that. And they want freedom. And in their version of freedom. They've been protesting. Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, sent out a tweet. LeBron tried to address it last night. First time since the Lakers came back from China because nobody spoke over there. LeBron talked. Then he upset people. Now we have pictures of people burning his jersey in Hong Kong. What's your take on the entire situation?
Well, first of all, I think you're right that, you know, you shouldn't speak on things that you're not totally informed on. Secondly, and most importantly, you don't say anything or tweet anything out when you're going to a foreign country to have an event. I don't know about I knew exactly what LeBron said and what he meant, and he had to come back and clarify it for people that didn't understand what he was talking about, and he wasn't talking about the protesters. So that's being ill-informed about what he was talking about, because the fact that they're burning the jerseys, and yeah, we got pictures, it's clickbait, it's all that kind of stuff. But he was talking about the ramifications of someone saying something politically about another country when you're in that country. When you're in that country, it's, you know, you can speak out about a lot of things. We heard LeBron talk. He didn't talk over there. He talked when he got back here about what was going on. And what Daryl Morey didn't understand is the ramifications it was going to have on the NBA, the players, the teams. It was, and we had Bill Orme on yesterday. He talked about the difficult week that they had over there. And when you put it out there and you're on a foreign soil, it is going to have major ramifications. And it's not just about you. Every single team over there had to deal with this because of his tweet. He wasn't thinking about anybody else. He wasn't thinking about the NBA or the ramifications that it would have. Guys had financial obligations and big-time deals while they were over there that all got canceled. All got canceled because of that tweet and because of what the Chinese government did. I understand there is things going on around the world that are not okay, and people, and there's human rights issues all over the world, and we do talk about it in this country because we do have freedom of speech. But when you're in their soil and they can, they're, you're working over there and they're inviting you over there, there's a time and a place. And I think it was the wrong time for him to send out that tweet. Do it when you come back after you've seen everything, after you've been over there and you've toured around and you've spoke to the people. Come back and say, man, I was over there and I'm with the people of Hong Kong. You can say that, but not when you're trying to get work done and the NBA is trying to broaden their scope and their brand in China. That's not something you're going to do, because the players were affected, the teams were affected, and the NBA was affected.
I don't know why Daryl Morey, who is with the people in Hong Kong, felt the urge to tell everybody, I'm with the people of Hong Kong. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for voicing that. Why did you have to say that? You can be with the people.
Right.
You can support the people. I don't know why all of us believe today that every single person on the face of the planet has to know how we feel or what we think immediately. I've got to tell you what I think. Okay, we get paid to tell you what we think. On social media, here's what I think. And some people have a higher profile and a greater obligation. So not to disparage what the people of Hong Kong are going through, because I agree, they should have their freedom. Daryl Morey should have never done that. That wasn't his place. He's not a politician. He's Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets. He's not going to change anything. So that's the first thing. And I agree. Daryl, really, tell your friends. Discuss it at a cocktail party. Talk to the family about it. That's good. That's enough. We don't need to know what you think about that. But he decided to tweet it. It did put everybody in a really bad spot. And it put LeBron in a bad spot last night. Because he had to go out, or chose to go out, and try to explain the situation, what the Lakers had gone through, what he had gone through. But as that was interpreted, it sounded like, I'm all about my money. I'm all about what I'm going through. And I don't care about the people of Hong Kong. I like you, Rodney. Now, I have to tell you something. We do agree on this. I, like you, actually understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
The majority of people didn't get it.
Right.
But I did get it, because at Channel 4 last night when I walked in, the producers say, did you see this? And I looked through it, and they thought, oh, my God. I mean, he is basically saying his life is more important and the money he makes is far more important than a nation's struggles. I didn't take what he said like that. I took he was explaining the situation, not drawing any kind of conclusion about the hardship anybody may be going through. He was just talking about what they went through, because that's what he could talk about. But I think a lot of people felt it was very different.
Yeah, a lot of people did. And, you know, a lot of people are you know, we're in a day and age where you're able to use social media for whatever you want to use it for. And you can speak out and hide behind it, or you can be vocal about it and be out front about it. I took it as what it was. I mean, just imagine, you're in China, and we don't know everything that happens behind closed doors in China, just like we don't know what happens behind closed doors in a lot of volatile countries, say the Middle East or Syria. Are you going to go to Syria and start complaining about their human rights issues, or Saudi Arabia, or anything like that? You may not come back home. You know what I'm saying? So it's a real thing when you're over there and you're faced with a government that controls everything, and someone speaks out that is in your business, that is a part of your team, speaks out, it puts everybody in jeopardy. I know that's maybe dramatic for a lot of people to believe, but you're over there and they put you on lockdown, and they're, you know, you can't say anything, they're canceling everything. You start to get concerned for your safety and for everything. And that to me spoke volumes. Look, I've traveled. I've been lucky enough to travel around the world to some places that I was always on my P's and Q's and made sure I didn't do anything that was out of the ordinary. And because I didn't want me or my family or people I was with to be in jeopardy. And I think that's what he meant, is that Daryl Morey put not only his team, but all the other teams and all the players that were over there in jeopardy.
Rob has tweeted, aside from you're a dumbass, to me, Daryl can say whatever he wants. This is a free country. You guys are such, and I'm not even going to use the word. Okay. Let me tell you what LeBron James said last night. Try to separate here. Try to think about it. Do you hear what you want to hear? Do you hear what you want to hear? Do we have it, Kevin? Okay. Let's just play what LeBron James said. Listen.
I think that's another situation that should stay behind closed doors. We are to see what happens with any one of our players or with an owner or with a GM at a later date. I think when we all sit back and learn from the situation that happened, understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl. But Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke, and so many people could have been harmed, not only financially but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do. Even though yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too.
That's good right there, Kevin. Okay, you can take that one of two ways. You can take that as if we have freedom of speech and I was impacted financially and negatively and therefore it was a bad thing to say. I stand with the people of Hong Kong. You could take it that way. Or I think what he meant was this. We all have a responsibility in what we say and do. Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, also has a responsibility. He can have his personal views. But to tweet something like that, even if you stand with the people, is inflammatory. And that is going to cause us problems.
In their country.
In their country, correct.
In their country. So this whole notion of, yeah, we have freedom of speech here, but when you're in someone else's country where the laws are different, not everybody in China has freedom of speech, by the way. So it is different when you're going to a different country and you want to go out and speak your mind as a representative of an organization like the NBA. You are bringing everybody into that tent when you speak out. He's not Joe the fan of the Rockets over there visiting saying, I want to go to some games. Oh, and I was in the streets and I'm with the people of Hong Kong. No, he is the GM of an NBA team that's over there as ambassadors. So yeah, you have a responsibility, and you can't just think about, I'm with this. And yeah, you come back home, you say, look,
I'm with it.
I'm with the people. I'm here. Now I'm back. I've had a chance to go over there. I'm back here and where I do have total freedom of speech. And I'm not happy with the situation. I'm with the people of Hong Kong. I don't think anybody would have thought anything of it. But when you're on that trip and you're going, or pre-trip, and you got to do work over there in that country, and there are other people involved, yeah, it's irresponsible.
The thing that it's hard, and Rob, who was so kind and tweeted us those wonderful sentiments, the thing you have to remember is this. Even though you have something to say, all of us, and we do, and whatever we have to say is so vitally important that we tell everyone, and some people's comments carry more gravity than others by virtue of the fact they are who they are, you have to be selective. You have to be thinking. No one is saying, I don't think LeBron James is saying that the people of Hong Kong are wrong, nor do I think he's saying that he's a mercenary and it's all about money. And by the way, I'd be the first guy to bang on him. Rodney, is that fair? Yeah. Would I be the first guy to bang on him?
Yeah, but okay. You said it. You're hearing what you hear, and money keeps coming up. Finance. He said emotionally, spiritually. He said physically, we're in danger. We could be in danger. He said all those things, but people want to focus on the financial part of it.
Yeah, so I'd bang on him, but I'm not going to bang on him here. Because I really think what he was referring to was not that the people of Hong Kong are wrong and not that he is mercenary. I just simply think he was saying, you know what? Timing is everything. And that was pretty bad timing. You got to think. You have to think. We're representatives of iHeartMedia. I'm a representative of NBC. Rodney is representatives. He and his wife are the Holly Rod Foundation. If you make a statement of some sort, that's inflammatory, that's going to carry weight. There are going to be repercussions. He is not Joe average fan,
right?
Daryl Morey. As you point out, he's the general manager of the Rockets. And of course you can have your say. But I truly think what LeBron was saying last night, timing is everything. And that was really bad timing.
AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.
And Fred.
You lately, man, I've got to say.
You can't. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. On a Tuesday, Fred. A hot Tuesday.
Boy, it's hot. I've
we
just checked Twitter.
We started it off hot.
I've checked Twitter. It's hot. You want to hear some of this?
Sure.
SoCal Charles, why am I not surprised on your takes? Nice spin. LeBron needs you guys on his PR team. Well, if you're one of our new listeners, you would realize that I'm not on LeBron's PR team.
LeBron doesn't need us, by the way. LeBron's doing just fine on his PR and his marketing. He's doing just fine.
Sokan says, I think Daryl Morey did the right thing, even though communist LeBron fans don't think it is. It will open eyes and people like communist LeBron.
Wait, so
LeBron
now he's
talk,
communist. Now he's communist. This is ridiculous how people think. Because you say one thing, you're a communist. Because you say now he's a communist. Oh, you don't like I could go on and on. It's like, okay, now you don't like police because you sided with Colin Kaepernick. What in the world?
Mr. J says basically stop defending him. If he wasn't on the Lakers, you wouldn't be defending him. Sky says, of course, we have this take about LeBron. Now, I got to be honest with you. Let's just really be honest here. It's not about communism. And it's not about not speaking for the rights of the people in Hong Kong. None of that is the case. What is the case is the timing. Here's what you don't understand. Yeah, we have freedom of speech in this country, and it's a great and wonderful thing. And we can express our views openly and honestly. And sometimes they're not popular, but we have that ability to do so. That's how we've been brought up. That's how we look at the world.
But you said it, Fred. You said it a million times. It's about timing. If you're going over there for a business trip, you're going somewhere for a business trip, right? You're going to a foreign country for a business trip. Are you going to start bad-mouthing that country that you're going to?
Well, I'm not
going to
bad-mouth China.
Especially China.
Because China is different. And that's the thing we're not understanding. You should always speak your mind, and you have that right in this country. LeBron is not defending communism. We're not defending communism. But the thing you don't understand, and even as I check Twitter here and you think we're defending LeBron, no, we're making, at least I'm trying to make a point. The world doesn't all work the way we do. If we've only lived in the United States, we believe things to be a certain way. If you've traveled for any point in your life, you realize things are not always the same. And there are places you have to be careful. Can I give you an example, Rodney?
Yep.
So my son, Jack, who transferred to Redlands, and he's going to be their starting shooting guard. We're thrilled. He's going to have a great year.
Go Redlands.
Go Redlands. Go Bulldogs. Anyway, this summer, they went on a trip. And here's where the Redlands basketball team went. They went to China. They went to Strasbourg. They went to Munich. And they went to Egypt. Now, that was the trip. In each place, they were warned about what they should do, what they shouldn't do, what they should say, and what they shouldn't say in each place.
Right.
And the rules were different in each place. The rules that they had to live by in China, believe it or not, were not as extensive as the rules they had to live by in Egypt, which every one of those kids thought was a terrifying experience.
Yeah.
In Egypt. Now, if you were going to travel to Egypt, but just prior to your trip, made disparaging remarks about Egypt. They may be true. You may have a certain view.
Yep.
Are you going to say that before you go there? So when you come through and they look at your passport and you think, I can say what I want. Yeah, but those countries look at things differently.
Respect it.
Because if you think it's going to be all roses and merry-go-rounds when you get there,
and no ramifications for the things that you say,
that doesn't work in that country. This is different. It doesn't work that way in China. Daryl Morey never, in his wildest imagination, and not one person listening right now would ever think, if you tweeted out, "I stand with Hong Kong," that the Chinese government would get upset. You don't think that way. Don't act like you do. In a world where you can say anything you want, you really think the government of a foreign country would get upset over one tweet? Do you know what that tells me? You don't know that country.
Yeah.
You don't know that country. So if you sit here and say, "Well, LeBron is a communist and you guys are defending him." No. First, he's not a communist. And second, we don't need to defend LeBron. He's a big boy and can defend himself. And personally, if you listen to this show, I was criticized for banging on the guy all last season. But in this case, the timing was wrong. Not the sentiment. The timing. There's a distinct difference. And I don't see why people can't understand that.
Yeah,
I don't.
I don't either.
There's a difference. Either. Nobody's saying don't say it. They're saying it's the wrong time to say it. Check yourself. Understand the situation. Know what's around you. You're not the only person on the planet. What you do could affect others. That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's right. And it doesn't just go for Daryl Morey. It goes for everyone and everything. Tell the story about your friend real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different. There's a million situations that you can do. I had a friend in college that we all loved, and he'll just go by the name of Jeff. But we would go out, and 50% of the times, he would end up in a fight. And it wouldn't be a fight with just one-on-one. It would be a fight where he would pick it with four or five people, which meant that all of us had to be involved. All of us had to defuse the situation or be involved in the fight. And it was one of those things where we had to keep telling him, you know, what you do affects all of us. All of us. We're just trying to go have a good time, but yet you involve all of us into this altercation. And you have to be responsible for your own actions. And I don't think he ever thought that, like, I agree with you, Fred. I don't think he thought the Chinese government would come down on him this hard or come down on the NBA this hard. But just think of how many people he affected by that one tweet that he did. Individual tweet that he did affected all of the players over there, the coaches, the organizations, the NBA as a whole, as a brand, affected it. You got to be careful when you go to a foreign country. I mean, that's just simple. And why people can't understand it, I don't get it.
Anthony has tweeted. Chad Bonner has tweeted. I'm going to paraphrase. Neither one is pleased with what we said. Neither one.
Shocker.
And Chad says, timing has nothing to do with this. Chad, okay, maybe you take that position. Here's what I would suggest. Have you ever been in that position? Have you ever been in that position? It's easy to say these things. Timing has nothing to do with it. Unless you're the one affected by it. Then timing has everything to do with it. You see? It's, again, and Anthony, you're defending LeBron. You're importing Chinese values here. No. No one is doing that. You hear what you want to hear. But hear what we're saying. This is not about freedom in Hong Kong because they deserve it. No one is questioning that. No one. And Daryl Morey absolutely has the right to say that. As do you, Chad. As do you, Anthony. As do you, Sky. As do you, Andrew. As do everyone that is tweeting. You have that right.
Yeah.
Just be aware.
Yeah, it's like
when you can say it.
Are you going to go to Colombia or Venezuela and go, "Oh, the government's corrupt. You know, I'm going down to Venezuela and I'm not okay with that government and the people are struggling down there and looking forward to my trip down to Venezuela or Colombia."
Right. I'm going to keep my eyes open because I could be shot. And it's a terrible place to go, but I'm forced to go there on business.
Yeah.
I have to go. Really? You would want that? Of course you wouldn't. Don't misunderstand. This is not about Hong Kong. This is about the timing of the tweet. And I think that's what LeBron was saying. And again, I don't have to sit here and defend LeBron James. I banged on the guy all last year. And by the way,
Stop with the communist talk. I mean, that's just like trying to get people riled up. Oh, LeBron's a really? Really? I mean, really? You talk about uneducated about the situation. The people that are saying that are just absolutely ridiculous.
All right. Let's get to Clayton Kershaw. You know what? And I pause for a second because I keep reading these tweets. And we got to stop. We got to stop. But hey, thank you for being a part of the show. We love that you're expressing your views. Thank you. Because anytime we express our views, it causes us all to think, maybe look at things a little bit differently. All right. And when it comes to the Dodgers, should they have looked at things a little bit differently? Andy McCullough of The Athletic thinks so. Andy joins us right now. Andy, it's got a little heated in here, but thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. Okay, I made the point after the Dodgers were eliminated. I don't blame Clayton Kershaw for what happened. Now, Rodney says he took the ball. He's got to go out there and perform. My feeling was he shouldn't have been out there in the first place. Are they putting or giving him too much credit? Are they focusing on the Kershaw of the past and not the Kershaw of now?
I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that that is very apparent based on the way that they use him. I think it's multiple things. Like, once Kershaw gets the ball in his hand, he has to do his best to execute, and he obviously did not. So he deserves a share of the blame for how the, you know, for giving up those two bombs. But, you know, at the same time, he's not the best option in that situation. And in an elimination game, when you have, you know, a good chunk of your bullpen rested and you need six outs, you know, you should use your best options. And so the fact that, you know, they viewed him as one of the best options, the fact that they went at him in that situation, you know, it seems pretty clear that, you know, they're not really living in reality with him. And that's a strange thing because, you know, that is something that, you know, Andrew Friedman, you know, does do. He is a good assessor of talent. He understands, you know, who belongs in the most important spots. And, you know, to continue defending Kershaw in that spot, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the smell test for me.
Yeah, you know what? I absolutely agree with you. Are you buying the fact that this wasn't scripted beforehand, that they, no matter what, we're going to go to Kershaw after Buehler? Because they're saying, the game is not scripted out. We play, let it play out and all those type of things. I think the only way they went to him is if they had it planned out beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to, like, stop thinking about the idea of a script as a bad thing, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, you want to plan. You want to have an idea of what you want to do. Like, you want to come in knowing what the various options are. And so, like, having a, you know, it's like, you know, the offensive coordinator scripts the first 15 plays, right? And a lot of times, like, those are the best 15 plays an offense will run.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's good to have an idea of what you're doing. I think
but if it comes to third and one in one of those 15 scripted plays, you alter that, you change that particular play.
Totally. Yeah. And I get what you're saying. I just wanted to push back slightly on that because I think we get too bogged down and like, oh, they were using a script. It's like, well, if the script works, who cares? But when the script, you know, the issue is not so much the idea of game planning and having a plan. It's that the plan was faulty. Is that the plan was based on Clayton Kershaw, who is, you know, might be their most homer prone starter. You know, his stuff doesn't play up in relief facing the two best hitters on the opposing team. That's not a good plan. Seems pretty clear to me that they were trying to manage that game to go Buehler to Kershaw to Maeda and maybe to Jansen, or maybe just to have Maeda to finish the game. And that to me is just faulty planning. It's just not the best way to get through that game.
And I guess it really comes down to this. Why would they think Kershaw could do it? I mean, as you point out, and I said on the air, he gives up a lot of solo homers early in games.
Yeah.
Why Kershaw? What was it that caused them to think this is the guy?
I think, you know, he had a good year as a starting pitcher. You know, he was a pretty effective starting pitcher. So it's not like, you know, he doesn't belong in the majors or anything like that. He's still a very useful, very valuable player. And I think they combine that with their memory and knowledge of what he's accomplished in the past. You know, he's been good in relief in the past, you know, in 2016 and 2017 and 2018. But that doesn't really, I mean, I find it strange that they, you know, that has more value than the way he pitched in August and September. I mean, he went through a six-start stretch where he gave up 13 homers and he was playing against teams like the Rockies and the Mets and the Giants. And so, you know, I think it's unfortunately, it's a symptom of them, you know, like do you guys think if the player who had the statistical resume and in 2019 and the pitch mix in 2019 of Clayton Kershaw, if his name was John Smith, would he be pitching
100%
in that eighth
no.
inning?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, and that's like, you know, that they, you know, they can push back on that. Andrew Friedman was, you know, very, very firm in defending that decision. You know, he wasn't even going to touch the 10th inning, which I think is understandable because there's real, that one was pretty disastrous. But, you know, he was pretty firm in saying that there's a lot of reasons why Kershaw makes sense in that spot. And I just, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test for me. It just does not seem to be the best way to get through that inning.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it happens all around sports with that superstar that's been there and done that for you. And a lot of times it is that superstar that goes in and say, I want the ball in this situation, or, you know, start me or play me, or
right.
I'm not coming out, and makes it very difficult for an organization. So we don't know if that went down. Were you also surprised that Maeda came out of the game when he did?
Not necessarily with Maeda, because he tends to be best for, you know, three or four batters in relief. I was fine with taking Maeda out. I think what was more surprising is not just going to Jansen in the 10th, or excuse me, in the 9th, and then having Kelly for the 10th, but just kind of the way, you know, just the whole way pitchers were deployed kind of after Kershaw came out was kind of problematic, I think.
Andy McCullough with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, AM 570, LA Sports. Okay, well, we put a bow on that. Let's look forward. What do you see them doing? Now, can we assume Ryu will not be signed? Is that fair?
I wouldn't assume it. I think they're going to put in a good faith effort, but there's other teams who are probably going to be more willing to give a longer deal. But Ryu likes it here, and, you know, if on a two-year deal, maybe they can make it work. I wouldn't 100% rule it out, but I think the most likely option is he won't be here.
All right, if
that's a really long answer of just saying yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. But here's my point. If you can pay one, would you pay Ryu or Garrett Cole?
I mean, well, that's not...
If they pass on Ryu, there's money sitting right. there, and they're not going to have Rich Hill.
Right.
There's money sitting there.
Right.
Would you take a run at Garrett Cole? They won't do both.
Would I?
Yeah.
Would I? Oh my! Yes, I would. But I'm not Mark Walter. You know, I'll never be a billionaire. So, like, I don't understand how you get to be a billionaire. So, you know, I would be very surprised if they were in the mix on Garrett Cole. You know, I think they might make a run at Anthony Rendon. But I think Garrett Cole is just probably outside their price range. And that's they're the Los Angeles Dodgers. No one should be outside their price range. But I would be surprised if they were in the mix on Cole.
Wouldn't you think that is the focus? I mean, I think when you look at and talk to fans, it's like that other guy, that dominant guy, because you go back to pitching for the Dodgers in the World Series, where it'd be Yu Darvish, you know, or Kershaw struggling. That one other guy that can give you that, to me, it would be that they need to go, assuming that they don't get Ryu back, go hard on Garrett Cole, because I think I hear you about Rendon, but I still think you got another year or two out of Justin Turner, and if I'm going to put my money somewhere, I'm going to put it at Garrett Cole.
I mean, me too. You know, Garrett Cole's like, he's a monster. I mean, you know, you see what he's done in the last, you know, two or three months. I mean, he's incredible. The problem is, you know, in order to sign him, it's going to be like an 8 to 9 year commitment.
Oh, they won't
possibly.
Do that. No.
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to have to give out a contract that they've never given out, you know, that Andrew Friedman's never given out. And like, look, you know, you can, like, I was thinking about this today. It was like driving today, and it kind of struck me. I was like, huh, they should have signed Zach Greinke. And then it just, like, you know, went out of my head. But I was just thinking, like, yeah, actually, in retrospect, they should have signed Zach Greinke. But other than that, they've generally shown good restraint in the free agent market. I think Dodgers fans would probably not be thrilled to have seen the season that Bryce Harper put together this year, you know, at the cost that would have been. So, like, they've generally shown a pretty good eye for staying away from guys, even if they haven't had the best success in bringing in guys. The money's coming off the books in Hill and Ryu and in Freeze as well, but Cody Bellinger's going to go to arbitration, so he's going to go from making like $500,000 to like $11 million. So, you know, they can argue that they want to stay under the luxury tax, and that's their prerogative, and I think it's, you know, the fans' prerogative to be upset about that if they are.
Do they move Jock Peterson? Do they move Corey Seager?
I think those are both things worth considering. Peterson more so than Seager, just because there is less redundancy in the organization behind Seager. Like, you could maybe make it work with, like, Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez and even maybe try Gavin Lux at shortstop. Whereas in left, but that's, it's a little unsettled, and I don't really know if they'd feel great about that. Whereas in left field or right field, they have enough guys in the corners between, as I said, you know, Taylor, Hernandez, Verdugo, Pollock. You know, they even, Andrew Friedman mentioned yesterday, they could even maybe try Lux in the outfield next year if they're trying to get him at bats, where Jock would be someone who, you know, they're probably going to listen to offers for.
All right. Andy, we appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. There he goes, our buddy Andy McCullough of The Athletic, used to write for The Times, some very pointed views on Clayton Kershaw. And with Clayton Kershaw, nobody's saying he's not a major league pitcher. Nobody's saying he's not a good major league pitcher. But I think the sentiment is the expectations are too great for him now. He's not the pitcher he was. Okay. Rodney, before we break.
Yep.
Thanks again to Andy McCullough. More people are tweeting about the LeBron James stance. And it's really funny to me. It just is. And so many people are new listeners, and we appreciate it. They might not know over the course of time how we feel. It's a Zlatan, I believe. I understand the timing aspect.
Zlatan? Is he tweeting you?
I think so. Or it's, yeah, I think it is.
Zlatan from the Galaxy?
No. X-T-L-A-N.
Oh, okay.
I understand the timing aspect, but LeBron said these things on American soil, and now he's facing American backlash. He at best put his foot in his mouth, at worst sold out for Chinese money. Probably it's somewhere in between. I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll give you that. What would have been best last night? Listen, we're back. We're safe. And I don't have anything else to say about it. That would have been the best way to handle it. That really would have been the best way to handle it.
Shut up and dribble, huh, Fred?
I didn't say that.
That's what you did.
No.
You just said.
We're back.
You just
we're safe.
Said.
And I don't have anything else to say about it.
Shut up and dribble.
No, because that causes this. And this outcry.
Do you think he really cares? You think people really care? I mean, he's got a voice, and he is an influencer, and people listen to him. Yes, he's got a voice. He's got access. So what he says is why we're talking about it, why everybody's talking about what he says, because, yes, people react to it. And I don't have a problem with it at all.
All right, here's Pete Durbin. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. James wrote on January 15th, 2018, quoting Martin Luther King Jr. on the holiday, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter."
Yeah, Martin Luther King didn't go to Saudi Arabia and start talking bad about Saudi Arabia and their rights issues.
At Rodney P. Nye.
Tweeting. On Twitter.
At Fred NBCLA.
Rogan and Rodney.
Yeah, today's Afternoon Delight is Ritmo by the Black Eyed Peas. I love the Black Eyed Peas. The platinum-selling pop group teams up with J Balvin for this track that will appear on the upcoming Bad Boys for Life compilation album. In a press release, group member producer Will.i.am said, "I wanted to reimagine Rhythm of the Night by Corona and give it a minimal, futuristic, Afro-fused reggaeton vibe. The final song and video feel like the classic next-level futurism that the Black Eyed Peas are still about." The aforementioned music video has already been streamed over 7 million times since its release early last week. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Ritmo by the Black Eyed Peas featuring J Balvin.
All right. 2 o'clock hour, we're going to have Michael Molfetta on the show. He is the attorney representing Eric Kay. And it had been reported that Eric Kay had been supplying opioids to the late Tyler Skaggs with the Angels. So we're going to have the attorney representing Eric Kay on the show during the 2 o'clock hour. Also, Bill Oram will join us during the 2 o'clock hour. And we'll get into what happened at Staples Center last night and LeBron's news conference and how that played out. And it's got a lot of people talking about it. A lot of people, Rodney, today weighing in on different sides. Bill Plaschke of the Times wrote in the paper this morning. And Pete Durbin, who tweeted us, said, "Read Plaschke." So I've been reading Bill's column today. And he basically said that LeBron said what he did because it was all about money. And it was about business. And he, when he said Daryl Morey was ill-informed, he was basically saying, you know, I'm with the Chinese guys here because there's income to be derived from this. Again, I am just of the opinion that everybody should say what they want to say. And people are now taking me to task for saying it was about timing. Daryl Morey could say it right now. How would anybody be impacted? Nobody's there. Now, it might impact their business. That's fair. But at least nobody was there. Nobody was in the country, right?
Let me ask Plasky this when he comes back on. If he was assigned to go to China, right?
Okay.
And they were going to give him a big bonus for go covering for 2 weeks, covering the NBA and whatever.
Okay.
And Morey made that comment and they had to cancel his trip and he wasn't going to get that bonus. Would he be upset, affected by it? I mean, how would he feel about that? Yes, it's about money. It's about business. Yes, it is. The NBA is about business. But there are other things that he said, but everybody wants to focus on the financial part. But that is a part of it. Absolutely. If you have planned for a year because this trip has been planned and you have obligations that are over there and that gets cut because of what someone else, not your fault, but what someone else did, yeah, that's going to affect you.
You know, and think of China like this, by the way. You know, right, and nobody is here for human rights in China. They really don't have a lot of human rights in China. How many things that we use on a daily basis are manufactured in China?
Yes.
How many things on a daily basis? Just think about it.
Right.
Your computer? My iPhone?
Yeah.
How many things are made in China?
Millions of things.
How many pieces of clothing are made in China?
So if you're really about the people, then you're not going to put away all those things, right?
I mean,
you're not going to use those things.
Right. We shouldn't be buying anything. Really? Nothing. If that's how we feel. But we do.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't be selective about it. LeBron to me last night. So if you're just tuning in and you're wondering, well, they're defending him. No. What I'm saying is he was speaking on the situation that was caused, not about human rights. I'm not defending him. That's just what I think he meant.
And if LeBron doesn't say anything, right? If he doesn't say anything.
And I suggested that.
They blast him for not saying anything, for not commenting on a big topic, right? They blast him because they would say, well, you comment on every other controversial issue. Well, why are you not commenting on this? They would blast him for not saying anything. So he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
866-987-2570. This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, Vinny Bonsi.